We're in Parshas Vayetze. Tonight's shiur is being given in the schus for a refuah shlema of Elazar Michal ben Belima. He should have a continued refuah. So we know that the beginning of this week's parsha tells us Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, that Yaakov left from Be'er Sheva and went to Charan. And Rashi comes and bavorns. Rashi anticipates the obvious question of Lohaya Tzorech Lichtov, Ela Vayelech Yaakov Charana, that all the Torah really needed to do was to write that Yaakov went to Charan. V'lama Hiskir Yitziyasa, why does it mention his yitzia, his departure from Be'er Sheva? Elamagid, to teach us, she yitzias tzadik min hamakom, that the yitzia, that the departure of a tzadik, of a righteous person from a makom, from a place, osa rosham, makes an impression. She bezman shehat tzadik be'ir, for at the time that a tzadik, a righteous person, is in a city, who hoda, he is its magnificence, who ziva, he's its splendor, who hadara, is its grandeur, Yatza Misham. And once he has left from there, he departed from that makom, Panahoda, its magnificence has gone away, Panaziva, its splendor has gone away, Panahadara, its grandeur had gone away. And therefore, the Torah is coming to be Mechadesh, is teaching us that when Yaakov lived in Be'er Sheva, there was all of that magnificence, that splendor, that grandeur. But now, once he had left, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, once he had left, there no longer was that beauty, that pageantry, and now it had gone away with Yaakov, and therefore the Torah is b'mechadish, is teaching us that. He left from a place, and with it left all of that magnificence, and now he went to Charan. So the famous question that many of the Mefarshim grapple with is, wait a second over here. The implication of that statement is that there is no longer any splendor, any grandeur, any pageantry. It all had gone away when Yaakov had left from Be'er Sheva. How is that possible? Yitzchak and Yaakov still remained. They lived B'socha Yir, among the people of that city. And therefore, why is it that the Torah is telling us that when he left, Panaziva, Panahoda, Panahadara? Maybe some of it, but the assumption of the Torah is it's coming to teach us that all of it left. How is it possible? When we know that Yitzchak and Rivka were still B'socha Yir, still lived among the people of the city. Now, to compound the question, we're talking about two versus one. We know that Yaakov was a very great person. He was the Bechir Sheva Avos. He was the greatest of the Avos. But when you have Yitzchak and Rivka, it's two against one. You can't suggest that all of that beauty had left when Yaakov had left. And that is our first question. The Torah tells us that obviously, Yaakov went and he traveled to Laban, and it was there in the house of Laban that he had come and he had met his eventual wives. The Torah tells us that he wanted to marry Rachel. Laban deceived him and ended up giving him first Leah, and only after Leah did Yaakov give did Laban give Yaakov Leah Rachel. So the Torah comes and tells us that Vayobo Gam El Rachel, that ultimately he was afforded the opportunity to marry Rachel. Vayobo Gam El Rachel, Vayehav Gam Es Rachel Meleah. And the Torah tells us, and loved Rachel even more than Leah. Vayavodimo Ocheva Shonim Acheros, and he worked for him further an additional 7 years. So asks Rav Shimon Schwab something very interesting. He says, "Hare mashmos ha-pasuk," the implication of the pasuk, "Sha'av es Leah," that he loved Leah, "aval lo kimo Rachel." He loved Leah because the pasuk says, "Vayavo gam el Rachel, vayahav gam es Rachel Leah," meaning he loved Rachel more, but nonetheless, he still loved Leah, just not like Rachel. And if that's the case, asks Rav Shimon Schwab, then how do we understand the pasuk that tells us, the pasuk Lamed Aleph tells us, "Vayar Hashem kisnua Leah." Hashem saw that Leah was hated, and ultimately, "Vayiftach es Rachma v'Rachel akara," and therefore, because Hashem saw that Leah was unloved, she was hated by Yaakov. Ultimately, he opened her womb, and Rachel remained barren, remained an akara. Is that true? Is it true that she was hated by Yaakov? The pasuk itself said, just the pasuk earlier, "Vayavo gam el Rachel, vayehav gam es Rachel mileah." In other words, he came to Rachel and loved Rachel more than Leah. Doesn't suggest that he didn't love Leah. It's just that he loved Rachel even more. And if that's the case, it seems to be that the pasuk is contradicting that by telling us, "Vayar Hashem," and Hashem saw, "Kisnua Leah," that Leah was unloved or hated, despised by Yaakov. It seems to be that she wasn't hated, she wasn't despised. It's just that she wasn't loved as much as Rachel was. Then yet the Torah tells us that Kisnua Leah, that Hashem saw that Leah was hated. And that's our second question. And our third and final question is, the Torah tells us that Eliphaz was the son of Esav, and ultimately Eliphaz gave birth to Amalek. Vateled le'Eliphaz es Amalek. That Eliphaz gave birth to Amalek. Now we all know that Amalek is the paradigm, personifies the midah of cruelty. Amalek personifies the hatred that the nations of the world feel towards Klal Yisrael. And Amalek came from Eliphaz. Now one would have thought that perhaps Eliphaz or Amalek would have come from a different ancestor of Esav, but not Eliphaz. Why? Eliphaz, in a certain respect, was a tzaddik. The Medrash tells us that ultimately, the Medrash tells us, based upon the pasuk "Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel," that Yaakov kissed Rachel, "Vayisa es kolo vayevch," and he raised his voice and he cried. This is when Yaakov came and met for the first time Rachel. Why did he cry? So the Medrash tells us, "Shabacha," he cried, "lefi shaba biyadayim rekanios," that he came empty-handed. Sheradof Eliphaz ben Esav, that Eliphaz, the son of Esav, came b'mitzvahs aviv, on behalf of his father, to kill Yaakov. But ulefisha gadol Eliphaz b'cheko shel Yitzchak, but because Eliphaz grew up in the axle of Yitzchak, he was a Talmud of Yitzchak, he learned Torah from Yitzchak, mashach yado, he pulled away. Amar le, so Eliphaz says, "Ma es el tzivoy shel abba? What am I going to do to the tzivoy? My father told me that I'm mechoyev to come and kill you. What do I do? How do I fulfill, on one hand, the tzivoy, the commandment of my father, but on the other hand, my Rebbe is coming and telling me, Yitzchak Avinu, my grandfather, is telling me something different. ultimately, Yaakov came and said, I have the perfect idea. He concocted a perfect solution. Kol ma'ase biyadi. Take that which is in my hand. Take all of my possessions. And we know an ani is choshev kames, that a poor person is tantamount, is considered to be dead. Because of that, you're mekayim the words of your father by killing me. And you're mekayim your connection and your feeling of kirva to your grandfather by not killing me. It's a beautiful compromise. And ultimately, when Yaakov came and met Rachel, he was empty-handed, and therefore he couldn't act the way that his father had acted. He had to bring nothing to show his love and his connection to Rachel Imenu. We see that Eliphaz seemingly was a tzaddik. He felt so connected to his grandfather. He felt so connected to the Torahs of it, the Torah of his Mesorah, of his grandfather, that he didn't want to kill Yaakov. He should be lauded in the schus of sparing the life of Yaakov. Amalek should come from Eliphaz. Amalek, the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, he's going to be the child of Eliphaz. Eliphaz seemingly had tzaddik. Esav didn't have other children that Amalek could have been born from them. Explains Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. You would have thought that Eliphaz was a great tzaddik because he didn't kill Yaakov. But he says, Adarabba, on the contrary, he learned under Yitzchak. He heard all of his Torah. He grew up in his home. He saw clarity. He saw purpose. He saw what the life of Torah looks like. And he still remained Ben Esav. He still felt a yachas, a connection. He still considered himself the son of Esav. Shaharei holach laharog as Yaakov Avinu, that he went to kill Yaakov Avinu. That's not a tzaddik. That's a rasha. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains that Eliyahu Hanavi had come and said, Ad Masai atem poskim al shnei asiifim, im Hashem Elokim luchlach harav, vim habal luchlach harav. Eliyahu comes and tells the people, why are you straddling the fence? If you're going to go after Hashem, then go after Hashem. But if it's going to be the Baal Avodah Zarah, then go after him. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Harei shepsicha al shnei asivim, straddling both sides of the fence. The hainu shehaor v'hachoshech, that light and darkness is creating tension in one individual. Geruah hi yoser, it's worse. Mehalicha achar habal legamri, it's worse than picking a side, even if that side is to be obeyed Avodah Zarah. So yes, Eliphaz spared the life of Yaakov, but that he was even in a quandary, he was perplexed as to what to do, that erbuvia, that mixture of ra and tov, that's even worse than being kulo ra. To have a lack of clarity when there should only be clarity. That's garua hi yoser, that's worse, explains Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, than going exclusively achar habaal legamri. And that is why Amalek came, the worst person in the history of the world, the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, specifically comes from Eliphaz because he's worse. Eliphaz is worse in a certain respect. Rav Shimon Schwab explains that indeed, Yaakov didn't hate Leah. But I want to share with you the words of Rav Shimon Schwab. He says, Ro'im mizeh, we see from here, by the fact that the Torah comes and says that Hashem saw that Leah was hated, Ro'im mizeh, we see from here, Shebechina sina, that the hatred bein ish le'ishto, the hatred between a husband and a wife, eino geder sinas ha'ovim, is not like the hatred of enemies, ela shebahavas isha acheres yoser mimena. If another woman or another wife is loved more so than another wife, harezu techshov kisina, it's viewed like she is hated in the eyes of Hashem. And then listen to the words of Rav Shimon Schwab. He says, "V'inyon zeh," we learn from here something very valuable, a Musar Haskel, valuable, constructive focus and direction for us and our lives. Shehinei Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael is comparable, Nimshala Ki'isha, like a wife to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it says in Hosea, V'arastigli li'olim v'arastigli b'tzedek, that we are betrothed to Hashem. And if that's the case, that which the Torah says, Al Shleishim V'al Rebbeim L'Slonai, that for many generations, there will be retribution to those that hated me, it doesn't mean Hasonim Chas V'Shalom, it doesn't mean that those that hated Hashem, it could be very well that those people loved Hashem. They did mitzvos. But shebahavas dover acher, but to love something else more than Hashem. In other words, if there's ahana gashmit, if there's some enjoyment or fulfillment that a person has, more so than the enjoyment that he has from doing mitzvos, then that, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is considered to be a sone, one who hates Hashem. To have this irbuvia, to have this lack of clarity, to think that you could have both worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, to be that person, like Eliyahu said, that's al shnei ha'seifim, that's straddling the fence. You might think, we might think that we are Mekayim, we're able to keep and maintain and flourish in both worlds. It's not true. In the eyes of Hashem, that person is a hater. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to exact retribution. There's no such thing as excelling in both. It has to be that a person's priority and his focus is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything else to the relationship that a person has with Hashem is secondary. Eliphaz thought that he was able to be Mekayim Shneim, and Yaakov sensed that he had this quandary and gave him an out, a loophole. But it was only because Eliphaz, he was bewildered as to what to do. But is it really a shaila? Is it really a question? Did he really need that heter? Did he need that loophole? Shouldn't it have been obvious that of course I'm going to spare the life of Yaakov, who was a tzaddik, Yaakov ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, and I will no longer consider myself a ben Esav, the son of Esav? Is there really a lack of clarity? A person who is supposed to be married to Hashem, which we all are, There can't be any irbuvia, any distortion, or any lack of clarity to be perplexed. It has to be clear that our focus is to serve Hashem. And if not, even if we're doing both, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His eyes views it as if you are a snua, that you hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is something that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exact retribution for. And that perhaps is how we could understand why it is that Yaakov Avinu is the Bechir Sheba Avos, the choicest of the patriarchs. Why was he any more special than Avram and Yitzchak? Think about it for a second. The patriarch, the one who started the family business, was Avram. Avram really did all the legwork. He found out about Hashem. He taught Hashem to the world. Yitzchak Avinu created his own niche, separate from his father, as we'd spoken about in the past. Yitzchak perhaps did the most difficult act by willingly being Moser Nafsho, brought up as a carbon. Yaakov Avinu was already three generations into this. Why is it so difficult? I believe that Yaakov is a greater tzaddik than both of Avram and Yitzchak. Because Avraham and Yitzchak, there was no irbuvia. It was clear. Avraham saw with great clarity how disruptive and distorted Avodah Zarah is. It makes no sense to bow down to some inanimate object, a table or an idol. It sounds preposterous for a thinking person to suggest that this empty kli, utensil, is going to actually save me or help me in some way. And of course, Yitzchak, who was a Malach Hashem, who wasn't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael because he had seen with great clarity HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had seen how disruptive it is. He had learned from Avraham Avinu what it means to be a God-fearing Jew and at the exclusion of Avodah Zarah. But Yaakov Avinu faced an entirely different reality. Because as the Torah told us in last week's Parsha, Vayigdilu ha-ne'arim, and these young boys, they became adults. They grew up. And Rashi tells us, kol zman shehayu kitanim, all the while that they were small, lo hayu nikarim b'maseim, they were not distinguishable in their deeds. Ve'ein adam medaktik b'hem, and no one could really discern between them, mativa, and what their nature was. In other words, what Rashi is telling us is that Esav be'etzem was a Rasha. The Torah tells us that when he was born, he had tendencies of murder, of Edom. But he was also in the Beis Medrash learning. He was doing mitzvos. He was steiging. During the day, he was in the Beis Medrash. At night,
he was murdering. During the day, he was aggressive and also learning. Yaakov was perplexed. Yaakov Avinu saw in front of him Erbuvia, saw total disruption, saw truth, and saw perversion of truth. And it was all mixed up into one. What do I do? You know what? Esav isn't so bad. He's still sitting and learning in the Beis Medrash. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. What's wrong with him? Maybe I should emulate him. I could be Mekayim Shneim. I could have both worlds. Esav was the perfect role model. Don't we all want everything? To be that person that's making $1 billion and yet also that person that's doing everything right in the Beis Medrash. Except that Esav was making $1 billion while killing people by being aggressive and not being erlich. But Yaakov sees, okay, but he's also learning. Yaakov saw that erbuvia. He saw distortion, but it saw truth, and it could create a tremendous anxiety within a person. Yaakov Avinu was able to see with clarity. Yaakov Avinu was able to not straddle the fence, but able to be an ish tam, Yoshev Ohalim. He picked a side and remained committed in spite of seeing a perversion of truth. And that's pshat. That type of tzaddik, when he left, that left with him. Not Yitzchak, Rivka, they all saw with clarity. Rivka lived in a house of Rishoyim. It was so clear. There wasn't that perversion of truth. Yitzchak saw with clarity. There wasn't that perversion of truth. But Yaakov, he was the choicest. He was on the highest level. When he left that magnificence and that splendor, that grandeur of being that person that is able to clear away all the perversion and be able to see with focus and clarity, that was no longer there. That left with Yaakov and went to Haran. So yes, Rivka and Yitzchak were there and they're great tzaddikim. But that nekuda, that point that Yaakov had of being able to not straddle the fence in spite of seeing Torah and Sheker, Emes and Sheker intertwined into one and still not straddle that fence, al shnei zeifim. Ultimately, Vayetze Yaakov yet left with Yaakov from Be'er Sheva and went to Haran. Eliphaz, he was a descendant of the epitome. He was born out of Esav. He was Ben Esav. Esav was that person that tried to have a kiyum of both worlds, of being in the Beis Medrash while simultaneously going and murdering. He was that Ben Esav. It's hard to get out of being a Ben Esav. But Yaakov Avinu had the unbelievable siyata d'shmaya and ability to remain a Ben Yitzchak. He had great clarity and purpose. And that's why Amalek, which is the epitome of Safek, the gematria of Amalek is the gematria of Safek. Amalek is Baderech Mikra in a haphazard way. Asher Karcha Baderech, Suffolk. Amalek is Suffolk. Eliphaz was the epitome of that Suffolk, that doubt, which was born out of Esav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you love something else also, you're a sone, you're a hater. Yaakov Avinu, he was beloved because he didn't want both. He realized it was impossible to truly have both. He had to pick a side. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much.